Thank you. Okay, so today we're finishing our series on the 12 powers, represented by these quilts around the room. Today it's this wall, order, zeal, renunciation, and life. These are 12, considered to be 12 divine attributes that we all have. They're aspects of God in us. They work with each other and all together to make the whole person. These were the 12 words that Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, came up with in about 1930, and he linked each of them with one of the 12 disciples and with a particular body part. So if you're ever really interested in the 12 powers, I can recommend books on that. And you might think of other powers that we hold. If I were naming them, I might choose peace, although I suppose that could be included with love or wisdom or life. I might choose compassion, but I guess that could be love. So if you think of one that's important for you, feel free to add it. Let's start today with order. And I have pictures. There we go. That's the order quilt if it's behind you. Order is an obvious power. It's the power to organize, align, sequence, adjust, and arrange. The underdeveloped power of order is being disorganized, out of balance. You can't make adjustments or let go. Hoarders are an example. The other end of the spectrum is overly fastidious, to the point of obsessive compulsive, hyper-detailed. Their books are alphabetized by author. Their spices are alphabetized on the shelf, and all the pictures have to be straight. Okay, I've been known to straighten pictures in other people's houses when they were out of the room. And I thought it was just a Libra thing, but maybe it's an overdeveloped order, I don't know. When we're in elevated consciousness, which is the goal, is to live from divine consciousness, then order is organizing and arranging ideas and principles. It's prioritizing our thoughts, feelings, and actions to be the highest and best we can be. Actually, it's all the spiritual work you're doing. But even at the physical level, have you noticed how good it feels just to put things in order? Have you ever gotten a house ready to sell, and it was so nice you said, "Why didn't we do this years ago?" A lot of you have been reading the Japanese book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. It's basically about using the divine power of order. And that author says you should only keep things that spark joy in you. But here's what you need to know, or might want to know. The power of order is not the same as divine order. And divine order might not be what you think. So how many times have you heard someone say, "Well, everything's in divine order"? They usually say it when things are going wrong. It's kind of another way to say God has a bigger plan, or even this must be God's will. And that's not it. It's okay to affirm that everything will work out, no matter the appearance of the moment. But divine order doesn't mean that. Divine order means the law is always working, and what you're seeing is the result of the law. There's not a supreme being out there putting everything in order for you. That would be predestination, and it would mess with your free will. Divine order is the sequence by which everything comes into existence. Mind, idea, expression. Thoughts become things. So whatever is in your life is divine order because that's what you've created. Divine law results in divine order. We can't not use it. So now you know. The power of order is just about organizing life, whether it's the space where you live and work or organizing your thoughts and activities. You use order to reach a goal, schedule events, finish school, follow a recipe. It also helps you adjust. So if you're driving to work and the road's under construction, you use order to find a detour. There's a market, a commercial market for order, all the day planners and the books about how to get over procrastination. A lot of us would like to be using the power of order better. But order doesn't have to be Carson the butler at Downton Abbey measuring the distance of each plate from the edge of the table. Order is our ability to function, to make plans and carry them out. And at the spiritual level, order from the authentic or divine self is about self-correction. So you notice that you're showing up in some egotistic way and you're not being effective. You can choose consciously to readjust your thoughts and actions to a higher plane. So if you're having a conflict with someone, you ask, what's out of order within me? If you're having money or health issues, look at your own order, not just your actions, but the beliefs behind them. For any problem, check the order within you. Am I practicing the basics? Is there forgiveness work to be done? Is my self-talk holding me back? Am I at peace with myself? Order is laying the foundation before you build the house. It's setting priorities for your life so you can move in the direction of your dreams. And one of the elements of putting your life in order is getting rid of what you no longer need. When you're cleaning out the garage, you throw things away. And that is the power of renunciation. I mentioned earlier that the names of these powers have morphed through the years. Charles Fillmore originally called this elimination. And he described it in the most physical sense. And he was right, everything in nature eliminates waste, but no one wanted to think about that. So we started calling it renunciation. But even that sounds a little judgmental. You know, I renounce, it sounds like rejection. So now most people in Unity are calling it release. And the quilt is actually perfect. It's like a tree releasing its leaves at the end of the summer. It's a normal, natural thing to do with the assurance of renewal. I'm convinced release may be the most important power of all. It's the ability to discard, let go, remove, liberate, dismiss, or eliminate. It's opening your hand. You release whatever is no longer working or useful. And someone who can't release is a pack rat. With an underdeveloped sense of release, they might also find it hard to leave a job or a relationship, even when it's miserable. Have you ever looked back on a job or relationship and said, I stayed too long? That's about the power of release. And at the other end of the spectrum, someone with overdeveloped sense of release bails as soon as the going gets tough, or throws out the baby with the bathwater. They reject ideas before they even give them a chance. In divine consciousness, we discard or let go of the beliefs that no longer serve us. This is how growth happens. For any growth, you have to let go of the old to make room for the new. Sometimes you have to let go of the good to make room for the better. Jesus talked a lot about releasing our attachments. He said, leave your family and follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. You remember the rich young man who could not bear to part with his possessions? He said he wanted to follow Jesus, but he couldn't let go. There's nothing wrong with having material things unless they get in the way of your abundant life, if they distract from your spiritual journey. Some people work just to acquire and keep stuff. Some worry about protecting their stuff, even if they're not using it. Storage units have big padlocks on them and gate codes to get in. The power of release or renunciation is about stuff, but it's also about thoughts, beliefs, and people. I talked about this one time years ago about releasing people from your life, and a young man came up to me afterwards and chastised me for advocating divorce. I didn't mean to. I think we work long and hard before releasing a relationship we're invested in. And sometimes the only thing that's left is pain and frustration. This thing with people can also happen when you're on a new spiritual path. You might not click with your old friends anymore, or your family disapproves of what you're doing, and it can be painful to grow away from them. But you have wisdom and will and understanding and power to help you with that. Understanding reveals what to do and when to do it. So at the spiritual level, we release anything that doesn't serve your highest good or keeps you from being the best you can be. Travel light. And go forth with zeal. Charles Fillmore was 94 when he wrote his famous quote, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm, and I spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that need to be done by me." He died that year. He was active, zealous to the very end. Zeal is the power to be enthusiastic and passionate, to inspire, to motivate, to excite. Underdeveloped zeal is a couch potato, listless, no zest for life, sometimes feeling like a victim. Overdeveloped zeal is impulsive, ambitious, and pushy. In divine consciousness, at an elevated level, zeal inspires and motivates based on divine ideas and laws. It's the zeal to put energy into your spiritual practices, to be a vibrant, spirited person. Zeal in divine consciousness is not just an initial burst of enthusiasm. It gains momentum as it connects with deeper thinking and deeper spiritual understanding and deeper love for humanity. And that's the mistake most people make with zeal. They don't sustain it by combining it with the other powers. Charles Fillmore said, "Do not let your zeal run away with your judgment." We're calling it wisdom now. He said, "When zeal and judgment work together, great things can be accomplished." Zeal itself is like the first stage of a rocket. It gets you off the ground. But pretty soon that stage is jettisoned and you need a second stage to climb out and into a steady orbit. So in that stage, we combine zeal with maybe strength to persevere toward a goal, or maybe will to stay focused and ignore any thoughts of quitting. I talked last week about spiritual dabbling. Unity this year, Buddhist last year, maybe pagan next year. That's all first stage zeal, the flavor of the month. The second stage is where you energize the initial teachings and go deeper. Olympic athletes are a good example of sustained zeal, and we will see them at the Summer Olympics in Rio this August, and we'll hear the backstory about how they showed up at the pool or the track every morning, whether they felt like it or not. That's strength. They made a decision to forego other activities to focus on this one thing. That's will and release. They released other things. They found a systematic way to learn and improve, to grow and get consistently better. That's order, building on a foundation. And yes, you can have a coach for that. They used all of their powers, but throughout was a passion for their sport and competition and for excellence. That's zeal. The Buddha said, "Your work is to discover your work, and then with all your heart to give yourself to it." And Joseph Campbell said, "Follow your bliss." You might have more zeal than you think. It's not necessarily jumping up and down excitement. It is sustained passion for something. Many of you are zealous about this church. You keep showing up. You keep offering to do things to make it even better. Some of you have been here since the beginning. That is sustained zeal. And zeal is a part of life. That's not it, but okay. Okay, we'll leave it there. I want us to look at this quilt in a minute. Let's just talk about the power of life. Because we know what it is, and oddly enough, it's the hardest one to describe. Martha Graham, dancer, choreographer, said there is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. So life energizes projects and activities. It manifests healing. Life is the second stage of the zeal rocket. It enlivens and vitalizes a project beyond the initial enthusiasm. Underdeveloped life shows up as no energy, illness. Egocentric life is frenetic energy, chaotic, hyper, can't stick with anything, flit from one thing to another. Some people have panic attacks. Overdeveloped life leads to burnout. But elevated life, that divine consciousness life energizes your good intentions to grow spiritually, to be the most enlivened, vital person you can be. Life contributes to your well-being and your overall attitude toward living. Have you ever met someone that people say is a force of nature? That might be life from divine consciousness. You know how you're using the power of life by what you're giving energy to. You're not just spending time on something, you are giving it your life force. So, how much life force do you want to use watching TV? How much life force do you want to spend working on spiritual growth? How much being with your family? We talked about will. It makes the decisions, and then we use our life force accordingly. And there's nothing wrong with TV. I watched the Super Bowl. I watched hours of coverage of the New Hampshire primary. Just make a conscious decision. You're going to use some of your life force for that. We live either by design or default, so just stay awake to what you're choosing. Life is the animating force of the divine. Somehow it is breathing you. And if you've been with someone as they died, you know something leaves the body with that last breath. Some hospice nurses say they've seen it, like a wisp of smoke, but you just know the person is no longer in the body. But life itself is not gone. Energy can't be destroyed. It just takes a different form. So I want to tell you the story of our life quilt. And to do that, I have to tell you about Unity of Tustin, T-U-S-T-I-N. Tustin is a city in Orange County, California. The Unity Church is on 3 acres surrounded by big streets and heavy traffic and strip centers, but the church has created an oasis. So behind their buildings is a meditation garden. It was designed very carefully to represent the 7 stages of creation from Genesis, the 12 powers from Unity, and the movement of energy from density to light. So that's the chakras, from the root chakra up to divine consciousness. And when you're there, you walk through the garden in order. The colors are intentional. The plant groupings have meaning. So I wanted to show you some pictures of it. And if you're listening online, go to unitytustin.org, click on campus, and drop down to meditation gardens. So at the beginning is a stone book. On one side it says, "Let there be light." And on the other it says, "On the first day, God separated the light from darkness, bringing forth divine mind enlightenment." Then an angel welcomes you into the garden. And there are the chakras on the stepping stones. You see how they start with red and then orange? This wall is a water wall. It has water falling down it all the time and into that fountain. There are beautiful walkways. And can you see the table and the stools under that tree? They're carved from jade. Here's Kuan Yin and flying cranes and a koi pond. And I love this bird sculpture. I guess those are more cranes. There were roses blooming when I was there, which was several years ago I went to speak. And at the end is the Realization Pavilion. I don't know if you can see, but the symbols of world religions are etched on those glass panes. And there's a waterfall at the end, too. So I'm only showing you a bit of it. If you're ever in Southern California, you can make a trip. It's open to the public all the time. And it's much more meaningful when you walk through with a guidebook, or better yet, a minister. I was there when the minister, Marge Britt, was there. I think she devised all this, created it. But I want to go back to the 6th stage. There's a little gazebo with a stained glass hanging. This picture is from their website. This is what happened when I took the picture. But look at that stained glass up close. Does that look familiar? Look at our life quilt. It's the same design. So let me tell you first what it represents, and then I'll tell you how it got into a quilt on our wall. The sixth stage of creation in Genesis is the day humans were created. The sixth chakra is the third eye. It's when we see with a single eye, with vision and insight. It's about oneness. So this stained glass is about seeing our relationships as holy. It represents divine love and spiritual wisdom, divine union, mystical marriage, the soul relationships. Male and female are no longer differentiated. The stained glass piece was made by the minister's son, who died too young. He was 35, I think. And our quilt was designed and created by Judith Driscoll Ruth over here. Years ago, Judith was a member at Unity of Tustin. And then she moved to Wimberley, but she never forgot the beautiful garden, of course. And when it came time to make these quilts 10 years ago, she thought of using this design to represent life. So Unity of Tustin shared the pattern with her, and our quilt was made. So now you know what the quilt means and where it came from. It represents the pinnacle of creation, the life of the soul. The 12 powers are a lot to keep in mind. Fillmore called them 12 fundamental aspects of our divine nature, the 12 components of God's image and likeness in humankind, the 12 disciples of our Christ mind. He said they are divine ideas that comprise the pattern for perfection in us. Okay, and I think it's easier to just think of them as spiritual tools. You can stop throughout the day and ask yourself, am I showing up in this moment as my highest self? And if not, what do I need to change to make that shift? And then think of the powers. Which ones are needed here? Stronger faith, greater imagination, the strength to persevere, deeper understanding, putting things in order, letting go of something. You can remember the powers when you pray, too. You can affirm a power, call it forth in you. Use the life force for your health, love and strength for relationships, order and will for work, imagination and faith for your spiritual life. And remember, other people have these powers too. So if your friend gets a scary diagnosis, you can affirm the life, strength, wisdom, and order at work in his or her body. It's up to you which power to use when and for what. But this is how we handle our human identity. It's how we overcome obstacles, the pattern of perfection in us. You are so much more than you know. You have powers you have not yet realized or begun to use. You are God in expression on the earth, and you carry with you all the aspects of the divine. So go forth this week knowing that you already have everything you need to handle being human. You have spiritual powers to use in any situation. Develop them, grow them, and elevate them to become the best and highest being you can be. That's why you came here. That's your work, your bliss to follow. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we simply become still and quiet. You might want to take a deep breath. You might want to close your eyes. And in these weeks that we've talked about the 12 powers, remember that all of them are within you. Imagine them in whatever way you choose, filling your body, filling your life. Like a drop of ocean water is made of ocean, you are made of God. So you have access to faith, love, strength, and wisdom. You can call on power, imagination, understanding, and will. You can use order, Express zeal. Release whatever is ready to go. And live in divine consciousness, knowing who you truly are. Just for a moment, feel that divine power in you. We are so grateful for this awareness. We go forth this week as the divine spiritual beings that we are. And so it is. Amen.